Rejoice evermore. Rejoice always. That's the word of God which we hear from our second reading, from that letter from St. Paul from the Thessalonians. And you may be seated. Charles Dickens. He had a novel called A Christmas Carol. And it was about a famous man named Ebenezer Scrooge and how his heart was changed one Christmas. It's a story that makes us feel good because at the end, they eventually lived all happily ever after. But the lines from another one of Charles Dickens' novels, I think, more accurately describe the way Christmas feels, I think, for us. He begins the novel, A Tale of Two Cities, with these infamous words. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was a season of light, and it was a season of darkness. It was the spring of hope, and it was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. You see, Christmas is also a time of contrasts. For some people, it's a time of prosperity. And for others, it's a time of poverty. It's a season of goodwill and cheerfulness. And for some, it's also a season of ugly greed. Christmas is a time of family and togetherness. It's also a time of excruciating loneliness. It's a season of light, and it's a season of darkness. Christmas is the spring of hope, and Christmas can be a winter of despair. Now, don't get me wrong. We all want Christmas to be the best of times. That's why we decorate, and we donate, and we shop till we drop. We put up trees. We hang tinsel. We cook turkeys or hams. We put together all kinds of toys. We all want a holly jolly Christmas. But let's be honest. As much as we want Christmas to be the best of times, sometimes it can be the worst. Some of us have spent too much money. It happens. Again, and we're worried sick about maybe our financial future. Others are struggling with their health or the health of a loved one, pondering if this might be their last Christmas. Some are wrestling with old hurts that won't heal, and there are new wounds that won't go away. Still others are missing loved ones this Christmas, either because of distance or death. So that's why this letter, this book of the Bible by St. Paul to 1 Thessalonians, the church in Thessalonica, over far yonder in Greece and Italy, why this text seems a little bit strange to hear on Christmas. It's a little bit out of place. It's a little bit artificial. He says, rejoice always. Rejoice evermore. Really? Paul, St. Paul, just what is there to rejoice about? Finally, isn't Christmas just a fantasy in a season of fantasies? Isn't Christmas about as real as sugar plum fairies and old St. Nick that's on the end of the road? Or Jack Frost knocking at the end of your door? That's just Christmas. It's just a bunch of stories. And even if Christmas joy is real, it's real for other people. It's not real for me. So why you gotta say rejoice always? I've got problems that nobody else can relate with. My parents had a lot of hang-ups and passed all of them down to me. And then my siblings, let's talk about them. We don't get along at all. Especially this time of year. My job is a hassle. My marriage is on the rocks, and it's too late to do anything about this mess that I call my life. So how dare Paul How dare you say, rejoice evermore? How could he suggest such a syrupy sentiment or feeling? I'll tell you why. St. Paul knew about the angelic announcement that we heard. I bring you great news of great joy. Not for some of the people, not for the good people, not for the religious people. No, this is good news of great joy for all the people. Joy is the gift Christ gives to everyone, especially on Christmas. And he gives it especially to you. Joy. Now please hear what I'm about to say. It's very, very important. There is a huge, huge difference between happiness and joy. You see, these two words are not synonymous. They don't mean the same thing. External gifts like health and wealth and family are awesome blessings from God. They make us happy. But, this is a very big but, they are not essential to have joy. So why is that? Well, happiness is determined by what is going on around me. Happiness is what you find outside of yourself. That's something that we can't control. Joy, however, is determined by what is going on inside, in the heart, in the soul. And God has taken control of that. And that's why you can have joy when you don't have happiness. Because God already has given it to you. And because he already sent Jesus. Jesus didn't have a lot of reasons for earthly happiness either. He didn't become an emperor. He didn't become a statesman, a politician, or a general, or an investment banker. He was born in an animal feeding trough to a blue-collar father and a teenage mother. As an adult, Jesus had no home. He was always wandering. He says in the Gospel according to Matthew, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Jesus was a preacher and he washed people's feet. That's never been the key to making it big in our world. And then he did this. He, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Death on a cross was reserved for slaves and thieves and murderers and those that were treasonous against the state of Rome, the lowest of the low of all people, the scum of the earth. That was what was Jesus. They ripped his skin apart, burst his arteries, severed his nerves. It brought unimaginable pain. And in spite of it all, Jesus exuded joy. Poverty couldn't take it away. Disappointments, rejection couldn't take it away. Even death couldn't take away joy for him. Hebrews in the New Testament says as much, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. So what does this all mean? No matter what your life may be like right now, or what's going on in your life, this one great truth makes everything worthwhile. Christmas time should remind you of this truth. Jesus Christ, the God and Savior of the whole world, your God and Savior, was born to die for you. From his cross, he freely gives joy, unlimited joy, undeniable, unending joy. And it's for you. How can I be sure? How can you be sure? It's right there in the Bible. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Jesus once said, no one will take your joy from you. Not even Satan, not even anyone. Why do you think that is? Remember what I told you that was so important. Happiness is determined by what is going on outside of us. You can't control that. But joy is determined by what is going on inside of you. And God has taken control of that by sending Jesus, who is the doorway to deliverance, the pathway to peace, the gateway to glory. His mercy is matchless, his goodness is limitless, and his love never changes. His grace, his undeserved love to you is sufficient for a world that might not love you enough that you want. His word is enough, and his reign, his power, is righteous forever. And no one can take this joy from you. Because it's a joy that's given to you from God. Joy stems the tide of gloom and despair. It brings confidence in the midst of confusion. Hope in the midst of uncertainty. And calm in the midst of life's chaotic storms. So please, don't confuse happiness with joy. They're not the same thing. There are happy Christmases and there might be sad Christmases. And it all depends on what is happening around us. But joy, on the other hand, joy is dependent upon what is happening in us, in you. And the birth of Jesus is God's commitment to send the Holy Spirit who comes and dwells within you to heal your hearts, to forgive your filth, to redeem our wretchedness. Whether today is for you maybe the best of times, maybe you got a pretty sweet Christmas gift lined up, or maybe it's the worst of times, who knows? Whether each one of those is happening, the birth of Jesus, announced by angels, witnessed by shepherds, and marveled at by magi, the three wise men, leaves us finally with one response this Christmas day. And what would that response be? What do you think? Paul wrote it. He wrote about it. They're the words of our text. Rejoice always. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.